This episode of the Nicole Sandler Show originally aired live February 14th, 2022. Looking back on that day a few years earlier, a day that none of us who lived in that area will ever forget.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to a Monday, everyone. It's a brand new week, so we got that going for us. Let's see. There was a football game last night. I guess it was good. I didn't really pay much attention. Although, I did watch the halftime show because I wanted to see it. And actually, I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. Not my kind of music, really. But I did get to interview Mary J. Blige back about 20 years ago. It was actually for one of those, an in-flight airline thing. I think it was America West Airlines. And I could have sworn I remembered asking her, because I had read it somewhere, about the word bling, that she was the one who basically coined the term. But I went back and listened. It was a whole half hour long interview, and I listened to the whole thing and couldn't find it. So maybe it was just my imagination. She did talk about some other words that she sort of made up in one of the songs. Cronk, I think, was one of them. But the question about bling was nowhere to be found. So I guess it's just in the recesses of my mind. I don't know if it really happened or not. But anyway, there's that. There is some good news in today's afternoon news dump. And that is, Sarah Palin took the witness stand in her libel suit against the New York Times on Friday. And I was thinking that, she actually may have a case here because of the way this editorial was written. And actually the guy who wrote it, whose name I can't recall at the moment, said, it's all on me. I wrote the thing. It wasn't a conspiracy. It's all me. All me. Well, today, the judge in the case has ruled that this libel lawsuit filed by Sarah Palin against the New York Times over a 2017 editorial should be thrown out because her lawyers failed to produce evidence that the newspaper knew that what it wrote about her was false or that it acted recklessly toward indications it was false. The ruling from U.S. District Judge Jed Rakoff came as a Manhattan jury was deliberating on Palin's suit, which claimed that the Times defamed her by unfairly linking her to a 2011 shooting spree in Arizona that killed six people and gravely wounded then-Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Rakoff said he would continue to allow the jury to deliberate to a verdict and added that he considers an appeal in the case to be inevitable. But I love that. So the jury had it, and he just threw it out. He's like, there's no there there. There's no there there. All right. Well, I'm sort of, kind of, stalling a little bit. Because today is kind of a shitty day. I live in a town called Coral Springs, Florida. Coral Springs, in case you don't know, is right next door to Parkland. In fact, if you look at our police and fire departments, they all say Parkland, Coral Springs, Parkland. We're the bigger of the two. Not that there's much of a difference. So 4 years ago at this time, I was getting ready to go on the air. And just before I hit the air, somebody in one of the chat rooms informed me of something horrific going on. So I'm going to play for you the first 3.5 minutes of the show from that day. It was February 14th, 2018.
It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, boy. I don't even know how to start today. Just moments before I hit the air, I went into the chat room at NicoleSandler.com on the Listen Live page, where we've got two chat rooms going during the show. There's that one and the one on YouTube. And I went in the Nicole Sandler chat room, where Emma Heidi, who is one of the South Florida chatters in there, informed me that there is an active shooting going on at a local high school. Now, my daughter graduated last June, thankfully, and also thankfully, selfishly. This was not her school, but it's the neighboring school. There's three high schools in our area, and it is one of the three. Marjorie Stoneman nope. Douglas High
Sorry.
School.
Not
there
taking
is an
calls
active
right now.
Shooting going on now. I just ran into the other room. I don't have a TV in my studio, so I ran in the other room and turned on the local news just in time to hear that there are victims. That's all we know. There are victims. Obviously it's still very early. The school is on lockdown. They're saying stay, you know, away from the area. Don't call 911 unless you have an actual active emergency. I mean, it is happening right now. And for those who wonder what kind of neighborhood, this is, it's in a town called Parkland. Very nice upper middle class neighborhood in South Florida. I'm just stunned. You know, these things happen on an almost daily basis now. On a daily basis, I'm talking about school shootings. It seems like certainly weekly, but when it hits this close, it's even more disconcerting. And I get viscerally upset each time one of these things happens. I think now that my kid's out of high school, I'm a little less personally, not conflicted, devastated. When I hear it, because my first thought doesn't go to whether or not my daughter's okay. Then I think of all those kids in a high school here in a suburb of Fort Lauderdale. This is where we are. Unbelievable. And the Republicans' response to it is, yeah, more guns. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes this week. There was a whole segment on concealed carry reciprocity. They want to make it, I forget the actual name of the law, but they want to make it so that if you have a concealed carry permit in any state in the union, just like a driver's license, you can take that with you to any other state and have it be valid. So if you're, say, from Alabama, where it's very easy to have a concealed carry permit, you could take your concealed carry gun to New York City or somewhere where it is not so easy to get one. This is where we're going. This is the NRA who gave Trump, I'm told, millions of dollars for his campaign. I'm disgusted. I guess the only good news is I'm hoping Emma Heidi and Call Me Tripp in the chat room, who are both in South Florida, I'll try to check in and look over at the chat every now and then, and you can keep me posted. Or maybe it's better that I don't know. I hope all those kids are okay. Something's got to change. And sadly, things don't seem to be changing for the better.
No. That was 4 years ago. 4 years ago. So, you know, today to most people, it's Valentine's Day. Here in this part of Florida, I think Valentine's Day is an afterthought, because today is the anniversary of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas massacre. So today I awaken and I turn on the news and I see a familiar face. I haven't spoke, you know, even though it's right here in my community, I haven't spoken with a lot of the victims' families, because I think there's something just very morbid about that. I just, you know, what do you say? I'm terribly sorry for your loss, but I just don't like the feeling of capitalizing on someone's grief. But I was at an event, a man named Igor Volsky, who runs an organization called, I believe it's Guns Down America. He used to be with Think Progress. He, with this new organization, put on an event a couple of years ago outside of Walmart, when they had famously removed the ammunition from the Walmarts. They weren't going to sell it anymore. So they had a protest and a thing out front, both to call attention to the fact that they sell guns and the fact that they were removing the ammunition. And I went and I met Igor there, and with him was Manuel Oliver. Now, I had not met him previously, but I knew of him because Manuel and his wife, Patricia Oliver, lost their son. 17-year-old Joaquin Oliver, known as Guac to his friends. And Manuel Oliver is an artist, and he's been very outspoken. He's been out in the open. And so anyway, Igor Volsky introduced me to him, and he came on the show sometime later. We'll get to that in a moment. But so I wake up this morning, and I have CNN on, and CNN has on the program, on their morning show, David Hogg. You remember David Hogg from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and Patricia Oliver, that's Manuel's wife, Joaquin Guac's mother. And they they were in D.C. They were on the morning show on CNN. And I think here they talk about where Manuel was when we spoke. I think this will work. I hope this will work. Let's see. Okay. Oh, we're not hearing it. Here we go. Wait, this maybe. No? No. That's going to echo. Okay, I can't play it like that. Hold on one second, you guys. I'm going to have to do this a different way. I'm going to have to play the video. I think YouTube, you're probably hearing it, but I'm not. So I need to do it the sort of old school kind of, What's the term I'm looking for? The old school way. All right. So let's see if I can do it like this. If I bring it up here, yes, that'll work. Okay. So give me one second. Sorry. I thought I could do it this one way, but I can't. oh my goodness. Best laid plans and all that. I have a bunch of video to share with you today too. So, just bear with me. Why is the volume here not working? Okay. That'll work. Okay, so I do it like that. Sorry, I'm firing on a few different cylinders here. All right, so I can bring it up like this. All right, so this is David Hogg and Patricia Oliver. They're out in D.C. in front of this truck that they're going to be driving around the city all day. And it is loud there, but you can still hear what they're saying, I think. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. Today, it is the four-year anniversary of what happened. 17 of our classmates and teachers were shot and killed in our high school. Today we're in front of the White House and going to be driving around with this truck talking about the number of gun deaths and injuries that have happened since Biden took office. He's promised a number of things that he could do as president right now, but has yet to do so through executive action. And we are demanding that he takes action to save lives before the next Parkland happens.
So they're demanding that Joe Biden take action before the next Parkland happens. That was this morning. And the truck they're going to be riding around D.C. in showed how many school shootings there have been. It's not a happy day. So David Hogg is there with Manuel's mother, Patricia. But the dad, Manuel, was not with them because he had gone up on a crane, a construction crane outside the White House, and to send a message to the president. So he shot video up there. Yeah, I'm going to show it to you. And it's a little disconcerting. So, here we go. This is the video from up on this construction crane. And I think you can hear. Oh, shoot. All right. Well, you know what? That's not what I wanted to play. Let's do it this way. Sorry, YouTube. I hope do it this way. I screwed something up. Okay, that's not the one I wanted to play. Man, oh man, oh man. Hold on one second. it is playing that. Okay, hold on. Let's see if I can change it like this. Oh God. All right. Sorry, YouTube. I know you were seeing that. Right? You were probably hearing it too, but nobody else could hear it. So let me bring it up this way. And this is, again, Manuel Oliver up on top of this crane. It's very noisy because it's windy. And sorry, YouTubers, you already saw it, but, the rest of us need to hear it too. So, this is it. And, it's outside the White House. That's up high.
So the Cold War will listen to McCain.
A very important message.
For a meeting with Joe Biden. ago.
He asked for a meeting with Joe Biden a month ago, but hasn't gotten it. So he's up there on that crane. I'm going to pull it down. You can see how high up he is. I pulled it down because you really can't hear him because the wind is so loud up there. But that's where Manuel Oliver is. This is only one of a number of projects, art installments, if you will, that he's done to call attention to the fact that these shootings keep happening and nothing has been done in the 4 years since his son was killed. And something's got to change. So it was, I think, about 2 years ago. What was the date on this? It was, of course, I can't find it. Do I have it up here? Let's see. Well, Manuel Oliver came on my show. You know, it was June of, I want to say 2019, or maybe it was last year. It might have been last year. It was last year. Okay. Sorry, I'm so scattered. I'm trying to piece this all together in a way that makes sense. But Manuel Oliver is a brilliant artist. And now he's done a lot of art installments honoring his son. You know what? Before I get to him, I'm going to get to a different art installment that he didn't do, because I'm jumping around. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember this as it unfolded. So the shooting happened. It was Valentine's Day 2018. 1 year later, on the first anniversary of the shooting, an installation was opened in here in Coral Springs, where I live. And I'm going to play for you a video that is actually has the background on it. There's an artist who does these installations, and he built a structure that was then named the Temple of Time here in Coral Springs. If you're watching on video, you see the whole thing. If you're listening, you'll hear the audio. What you're listening to as I play this is this structure being built. It was about a 1,600 square foot structure. The material was like balsa wood, you know, like the wood that they make toy airplanes out of. So a thin wood that had all beautiful carvings and everything, and that were in pieces. And it was brought here to this empty lot in Coral Springs and assembled, as you'll hear the artist, by not only students there, but by lots of volunteers from around the community. All right, hopefully this will work. Here we go. Here we go. All right, that's not working.
I think I told you a number of times that when I came here, I was expecting to work with 17 families.
That's not going to work either. You know, this is usually how I do this. I usually, damn it. Okay, I got to turn that off. Sorry. I usually play these things just like this, and it's not working that way today. So I'm sorry. Bear with me, because this is really worth watching. So let me play it for you in the other manner, so I can at least, so you can see what I'm about to play, because this is really cool. So again, this is the building of the Temple of Time. I just have to bring it in this other way. All right, here we go. All right, so now we can see the artists. They're starting to assemble this building. This is on an empty lot.
I think I told you a number of times that when I came here, I was expecting to work with 17 families, and all of a sudden I got, I don't know how many, there were 200 plus responders to the site.
And every single person that's come in has contributed and has been crucial in what we do. It's been a beautiful experience. It's been a joy to sort of work with them and sort of to build the relationships up that we've built with the kids and the parents and adults, and it's just been really beautiful. We do it for the community. I mean, or we do it, we're privileged enough to be able to sort of do it with the community, for the community.
I think when you make art, especially this kind of work, if you only go with people that salute you, you'll never, ever reach the people that you need to reach.
It's a beautiful community. I mean, there's so much openness and love and dedication.
Valentine's Day will never be Valentine's Day for me again. It's now has to do with your, all of your families and your community and communities all over the world that have been shot. You know, no more Valentine's Day.
No, that's how it feels here. So there's this temple going up. You can see the footage of it. And if you're listening on an audio stream, I'll post the videos for you.
Those fires, the fire will come back to people when they're cold.
So now you see all the people visiting, and they drew. There were pens all over the place, so you couldn't leave messages on the walls.
I think we're healers. We're not. You know, we just, it's the beginning process after a year, the year's anniversary, you know.
Yeah.
But I've said before, this one's going to take a long time for this community, you know, and this is just a little speck in contrast to what these people have experienced, you know.
But this temple of time came out just beautiful. It was gorgeous. It looked like a model. So there's the temple. It's built, right? So that was up for about 3 months. Like I said, it went up. It first was open to the public on the one-year anniversary. Then, I need to play the footage from this TV news footage. So here is, so it was always supposed to be up for a couple of months, and then it was to be burned down. So that night, when they burned it, all the local news media came out. Here's just one of those local news reports. It's pretty magnificent. Here we go.
We start with MSD Strong. A structure known as the Temple of Time was set on fire in an effort to help the community heal in light of the Parkland school shooting last year. The temporary structure was always meant to be set on fire.
That's right. Tonight's ceremony is meant to help so many people release their grief and grow stronger. Local 10 News reporter Leanne Modejon was at tonight's event. She's live in Coral Springs with more.
And the artist behind this temple named it the Temple of Time because he believed that it would take a lot of time, many, many years, to get over what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in February of 2018. This temple was never meant to be around forever, and today it was destroyed by fire.
Now you can see
the
structure
burning. The
Temple of
Time became a beacon of light Sunday night. 17 torches ignited the wooden structure. The torches, held by a select few, representing each of the lives lost on February 14, 2018, the day of the massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
I see fire not as a weapon, but as a healing, you know, a ceremonial thing.
Oh, thanks.
The artist behind the temple, David Best, flew in for the burning from California. It took 24 people and several days to put together, its peak reaching 35 feet in height. It opened to the public for the first time on the one-year anniversary of the shooting and remained open for 3 months, accumulating messages and mementos and becoming a place of solace and quiet reflection. Tiana Ben-Ami and Angelica Williams came to remember their friend Helena Ramsey here one last time.
I just wanted to be here to remember her.
I think it'll be healing because, like, a lot of weight will be lifted off my shoulders.
Sunday, as hundreds watched in awe and silence, the temple was set on fire, an act of catharsis for a community still dealing with heavy hearts.
My wife said, there goes the souls of those kids who were terminated their lives.
Like, it was just sad just to know that, like, innocent lives were just lost like that.
Even if we didn't know each other, it just helps everyone connect on a stronger level.
And the crowds that gathered to watch this temple burning were actually kept about 100 feet away to keep sort of a safety barrier in place. We know that firefighters with the Coral Springs and Parkland Fire Departments were on hand. They actually had to put the fire out a little bit earlier than they planned to because a westward wind was pushing some embers out into the wind and towards the crowd. So then the fire was extinguished by those firefighters. All in all, everyone that we spoke to who was gathered here say that they got a lot of healing out of this ceremony. Reporting live in Coral Springs, I'm Leanne Morejon, Local 10 News.
So that, the burning of this Temple of Time was a thing. I got to tell you, we didn't go out for the burning just because it was crowded. And, you know, we did go a number of times while it was up. And the thing is, there were, like I said, the wood was like a balsa wood. So it was soft and it was easy for them to put up and very lightweight. But there were markers stationed all over the place. And there were all these little nooks and crannies and beautiful carvings, wood carvings, the way it was set up. And there were messages. There were thousands of messages that people wrote, both to, you know, their friends who had perished, and messages. Here's, you know, the show card I put up for today. This one piece that has a bunch of little, Love Never Dies and, 17 for the 17 souls that were lost. These were part, some of the messages that were in the, on the walls as they were of that temple that went up in flames that night. So that was the year after. Okay. Now we're 4 years into it. But it was last year at around June. I think it was June. It was around graduation time. And what happened was, this was the time of year that so many of these kids who were killed would have graduated. And this is where Joaquin Oliver's parents came in again. Manuel Oliver started an organization and Change the Refs was the name of the organization. But more than that, well, he did something special. I'm trying to decide which, you know what? I'm going to do it in the order that it happened. So basically what he did was went to Las Vegas to put on a graduation event, an event from a school that did not exist. Now, let me just, I'm going to tease a little bit. Tomorrow on the program, I have Andy Bickelbaum from the Yes Men coming on the show. If you're not familiar with the Yes Men, I promise you, you will love them. You need to listen. They haven't been particularly active in a recent past, but they were very active for quite a long time, doing stunts. You know, one day they put out a fake edition of, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal. It might have been the New York Times. It's been a while. I'm going to have to refresh my memory before tomorrow. But, you know, with all fake stories to push climate, you know, news about climate change. I mean, they use political theater to make a statement. And that's what Manuel Oliver did a couple of years ago. So he started this project called The Lost Class. And so they set up for this outdoor graduation in Las Vegas, again, for a school that does not exist and did not exist. And they invited some real high-level people from the NRA and other similar Second Amendment groups to speak to these graduates, as they were or weren't. And so what you're about to see is the first of three videos that they put out. And I guess this was supposed to be like the dress rehearsal for the speech. Now, there are parts that are written in the screen for this. So for those of you who are just listening to an audio stream, I will narrate. I'll read what's written on the screen. Those of you watching, you'll be able to see it. But it is amazing. Okay? So here's the first of the three videos. And again, The Lost Class is the name of this. I'll call it an art installation. Goes like this. Went like this.
David Keene was the two-time president of the National Rifle Association. He continues to be a staunch defender of your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
He was invited
Therefore,
to speak.
It is my privilege to introduce to you David Keene.
June 4th, 2021. This is
Let
the dress rehearsal.
Let me begin by telling you what an honor it is to be here to help celebrate your graduation. Picture for a minute the young James Madison, for whom this school is named. This year, you focused on one of the most important of Madison's amendments, the Second Amendment.
There David has already raised millions of dollars to block universal background checks.
But I'd be willing to bet that many of you will be among those who stand up and prevent them from succeeding.
He has helped keep assault weapons on the streets.
Defending it is a challenge and a duty that Americans like you.
What he can't do is bring these students back to life.
Who understand what has made the country the envy of the world must accept as their
3,044 high school student seniors from this year's graduating class died from gun violence.
Majority of you will go on to college, while others may decide their dream dictates a different route to success.
This is the lost class of 2021.
So my advice to you is simple enough. Follow your dream and make it a reality.
My son is in Stoneman Douglas.
No matter how compelling David thinks his speech is.
And never for a minute doubt that you can achieve that dream. Thank you.
And you see him looking out over a field of empty seats. And there's a petition to sign at thelostclass.com. So the video of this former NRA executive giving his address, this was a dress rehearsal, to 3,000 empty seats on this field in Las Vegas is chilling. Just chilling. Okay, now here's the second video. It's equally chilling. So this is the second of the three videos that they produced.
Dr. John Lott is an economist, educator, and scholar. He has authored several books, including More Guns, Less Crime, often referred to as the Bible of the National Rifle Association. It is my privilege to introduce to you Dr. John Lott.
So again, it's the dress
rehearsal.
There's nobody there.
You all have made a new stage in life. You know, your school is named after James Madison. And he proposed what became the Second Amendment to the Constitution, that there's an individual right to people be able to keep guns for protection. Can you name me one place in the world, any place in the world, that's banned either all guns or all handguns and seen murder rates go down? I can't find a single place like that.
He once claimed that universal background checks would not have stopped a single mass shooting in this
century. I was just working in the Department of Justice. Gun control advocates and Democrats will fight you tooth and nail.
But these chairs tell a different story.
They want to go and say we've stopped 3.5 million dangerous people.
Okay, is anybody injured?
Yes, a lot of blood. Please help, please.
I look at it as we've stopped 3.5 million law-abiding citizens who wanted to get a gun.
Are you in the school? Where are you in the school?
We're on the first floor. They were shooting into my classroom.
Anyway, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You know, I'm sure all of you will have a very bright future ahead. Thank you very much.
I'm sure all of you have it. And many of them could have been saved by a simple background check. Sign the petition for universal background checks at thelostclass.com. And again, Manuel Oliver's organization is called Change the Ref. All right, so that's the second of the three videos. You know what? I'm going to wait to show you the third one and instead show you just a few minutes. The day these videos went live, Manuel Oliver came on my show. I'm not going to play the entire interview for you because, you know, it would take up the rest of the show. But I will post a link to it on the blog tonight. But I want to share with you just a segment of the interview we did when Manuel Oliver joined me on that day, June 21st, 2021.
Sometimes think that it's better to forget what happened, and that way people won't relate the city to a mass shooting in the school. There's a few reasons for this. One of them, which is the worst one, is what that will hurt, how that will hurt property values.
Oh, man.
For example.
Wow.
And if you're from around the area, you will see how the school where 17 people were killed, it became a place where some local business plays their their banners with their company numbers and names and services.
That's right.
So just because we look at this as a big picture that is hurting the whole nation, that is the only reason we haven't been attacking these local battles. But that doesn't mean that it's okay that that school, that building is still there, standing in front of everyone. And those billboards, those signs are hanging on that fence.
Right.
I think that's immoral. I think that's unethical. And I think that should be shameful for anyone that lives in Parkland or Coral Springs.
Yes.
All right?
I agree. And I've noticed the same thing. Driven by, I've seen the new building is up. It went up very quickly. But the old, that building is still standing.
Because this is American, and we believe in that the support is limited. And I'm not asking anyone to do to use art or to do the things that Patricia and I do. Period. You don't have to. You don't have to even suffer what we went through. But you should understand as a community that so far, we haven't done anything that will make things different. Okay, there's nothing different. We there's a lot of concern about the security inside the school. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? We have a lot of neighborhoods close to Parkland where gun violence is a daily situation, mm-hmm. not only inside the school. And I can't stop about thinking about that. And there's also the fact that there's a lot of we had an activation inside Publix right here in Parkland 2 years ago, and we saw how a counter group of people supporting the NRA in Parkland were somehow defeated, like trying to fight us back. So let's move apart the fact that we got a lot of support from the community. It's total bullshit. It's not true. But I have other problems bigger than that. Okay? And the video that you just showed explains the problem that I have and the size of this fight.
Yeah.
This fight is way beyond Parkland.
Oh, yeah.
You just described it exactly how it happened. We were able to invite these two leaders, influencers from the gun industry to bring a speech to what should be 3,044 students graduating. They didn't realize that everything was a trick. They didn't check. They didn't do any background check of the school.
Because the school doesn't exist.
School doesn't exist. Their ego was beyond that. Mm. And there is no additions in that video. Everything, every single word was said and signed by that person. We got those speeches in advance.
Wow.
Again, we have release forms from both of them. And it's just showing our reality, and that's what we do. We need to show Parkland. We need to show Coral Springs. And I keep mentioning these two because of your program, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was sending the same message to CNN this morning and MSNBC last night.
I saw.
This is a national epidemic that it only happens in the United States of America.
Right.
When I say that, I am being totally honest with you. The amount of guns versus the amount of people, the fact that we have more guns than people, that is incredible. And there is no other place in the planet that could understand that reality.
Right.
We have a gun industry that has been sending lies and manipulation to citizens in order to put guns beyond kids and beyond citizens. It's time to put a stop on that, and we have to check We have to try different things. What we did yesterday is our latest way of doing it. We're going to, and you have no idea how many emails we have received since yesterday.
Oh, I believe
supporting,
it.
Supporting what we did.
Awesome.
Like people that probably after watching this video felt, oh, well, wait a minute. They're not so powerful.
Right.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at these.
We can do the same. We can fight them back. And that's the main point of this campaign.
That's the point of the campaign. Just an excerpt of my interview with Manuel Oliver from last June when these kids should have been graduating. And 3,044 empty seats were in that field in Las Vegas because they all stood for students who were killed in shootings, who should have been graduating but weren't because they were dead. They would never hear those speeches. Thank God they wouldn't hear them from those people, because if it were a real graduation, they would not have been invited. Unreal. All right, let me play for you the third of the three videos from the lost class. And again, this time you're seeing Manuel Oliver and his wife, Patricia, speaking here. Here we go. That's when they were finishing the setup. Patricia and Manuel lost their son Joaquin in the Parkland shooting the same year he was meant to graduate.
We're here today to make a change due to regulations of gun violence.
3,044 members of the high school class of 2021 aren't graduating because they were killed by guns.
Representing every single kid that is not able to finish high school.
They created a graduation for this lost class.
3,000 kids that are not using those chairs because they're not here and they won't be here.
Each empty chair represents one lost student.
People deny the actual reality. And we cannot allow them to deny it because this is real. This is happening.
We only have a former NRA president giving a speech to the 3,040 empty chairs.
Yep. They invited prominent pro-gun figures to give commencement speeches to the lost class.
At 24, was your first run for office, is that right?
Right, my only one.
Yes,
I realized.
That's David Keene, NRA president, 2011 to 2013.
He has authored several books, including More Guns, Less Crime, often referred to as the Bible of the National Rifle Association.
We don't have many options to react to what happened. You have to understand that we're talking about losing your son or daughter. I cannot find anything more painful in life than that.
They filmed their pro-gun speeches to 3,044 empty seats.
I'm a father, and I have to be responsible. It's not about me. It's not about Patricia.
They thought they were speaking to James Madison Academy. But really, they were facing the consequence of years spent defending guns.
And all the kids have to go through this bullshit, and no one pays enough attention to it. We have to be louder, and that means reaching more and more people.
They hope their petition to lawmakers helps bring long overdue gun reform. Sign the Lost Class petition for universal background checks at thelostclass.com. You know, this is just so powerful. Hold on, I got to get the picture back. I don't know what I did here. I've got all kinds of stuff. Oh, there it is, I see. All right, hold on 1 second. I'll be right back with you. Again, you know, I so feel for these parents, Manuel and Patricia Oliver. It's 4 years later, and he's still out there. Today, he climbed up on a construction crane near the White House to get Joe Biden's attention to say, do something. My heart goes out to this family, to everyone who's lost someone. Driving around Coral Springs, the town where I live, you still see signs everywhere that say MSD strong. You still see people wearing those t-shirts. I drive by the school all the time. It's right there. When you drive on the Sawgrass Expressway, you can't help. You drive right by it, and right off the highway is the new building. And it's an ugly box of a building. It's a big campus. This is a big high school in an area that's very congested. We actually have four high schools in the area. There's Marjory Stoneman Douglas. There's Coral Glades, where Allison went, just a couple of miles away. There's Terra Vella, and there's Coral Springs High School. It's a crowded area. This was the community. And I drove by the school just this past weekend. I did an event at the Parkland Farmers Market. They do every month. They have a special category in this month. It was a pet thing. So I came out with my pet portraits and had a tent there. And again, you can't help. You drive right by the school. It's right there. And there's a lovely little area out front where in the days after the shooting, there was a big, huge memorial. Well, now it's in the corner, right at the front of the school. And there's a couple of benches there so people can sit. And there's a monument to the 17 lives that were lost. But you know what? They don't talk a lot about the people who were injured. In any of these shootings, you hear, you know, in Las Vegas, 54 people were killed. I mean, the reason, someone in the chat room just said, the reason they did that installment in Vegas was because that was the site of the largest mass shooting in America. Who can forget that? But in addition to all the people killed, and yes, it's horrible. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of that, but so many people were injured with horrific life-changing injuries. And at Marjory Stoneman Douglas as well, 17 people lost their lives. Another 17 were hurt. And some of them stayed in the hospital for the better part of a year. Because when an AR-15 discharges a bullet, it doesn't just shoot straight out. It's meant for maximum destruction. So if you get hit by one of these bullets from one of these assault rifles, it's not going to, you know, I guess what you hope for is if you're shot that it goes clear, you know, straight through, clear through and through. These bullets don't do that because they're designed to shatter on impact and create the maximum damage. These are weapons of war, not sport. And the Second Amendment doesn't give anyone the right to do that. You know, I want to say I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I mean it. And the people that go out and scream about the Second Amendment, well, fuck you. Because this has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment reads, the words are in there that include a well-regulated militia. The people who have these guns are neither regulated, well or not, and it's not a militia. These are, in many cases, lone wolves. The kid who did the shooting, and no, I won't name his name, and yes, I know his name, and I know his face. And what's even more frightening, and some of you have heard this story before, and I apologize, is when Allison, my daughter, graduated, Allison was not a great student. She did not like school. She has ADHD in a big way, and it just is not, that's not her learning type of environment. So she didn't do well in school. Smart kid, now smart young woman, but not a student. And so she was coming up to the end of her senior year. She had like two classes she needed to finish. That's all she needed to graduate, but she was going to fail. So the option they gave her was withdraw from school. You can go into this remote learning thing. We have, I forget what they called it, off-campus learning or something like that. And what they did is they set up a special classroom. I think there were two, actually, on the campus of Terra Vella, one of the four schools in the area, that she was to go to, and she'd do her work on the computer at her speed, finish it when she did in time to graduate. That was fine for her. Most of the kids in there were troubled kids, were kids who were, you know, going to be expelled, were kids who were not going to make it, that they were put in this off-campus learning, I think it was called. I forget what it was called. Anyway, so she's in there, and it's kids from all these four high schools that I told you about, the schools in the area. Well, after the shooting, and we see the kid's picture, the shooter, whose name I will not say, and Allison looked at the TV and said, oh, my God, I know him. He sat next to me in that off-campus learning thing, off-campus learning. That's not it, but it's something like that. He was in that room because he, too, had been kicked out of school for different reasons and was in there trying to finish his courses so he could graduate. She said he didn't talk much. He had really creepy eyes that she got the heebie-jeebies from him. But she was nice to him. Thank God. Then, after that, is when he went back the following year to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And you know what happened. This can't keep going on. It's been 4 years since that. It's been how long since Newtown? You know, look, this is 17 high schoolers and some teachers and staff. That was babies. And we did nothing about that. You know, the only thing you hear from the Republicans is thoughts and prayers. There are no words. And so for David Hogg to go on CNN this morning and call out Joe Biden because he's done nothing, for Manuel Oliver to go on top of the crane in Washington, D.C. and call out President Biden across from the White House because he's done nothing is perfectly warranted. Something's got to be done. Yes, David. Hi.
Hi. Someone told me after my father passed away that as long as one man says your name, you're never truly gone.
Right.
And that being said, what I'd like to say is Alyssa Olideff, Scott Beigel, Martin Duque Anguano, Aaron Feiss, Jamie Guttenberg, Chris Hickson, Luke Hoyer, Kara Loughran, Gina Montalto, Joaquin Oliver, Elena Petty, Meadow Pollock, Helena Ramsey, Alex Schachter, Carmen Shentrup, Peter Wang.
May I have that list, please? And we know these names. Again, these kids all lived in our community. Not that it, you know, when the shooting happens in Woodland Hills, California, as it did, or Orlando, or Aurora, Colorado, or San Diego, or you name it, it doesn't make it any better. But when it's in your community, I know these people. Alyssa Olideff, her mother went on to be on the school board, the Broward County School Board. She's there now. Scott Beigel, he was a teacher. He wasn't a student. He was a teacher. And there was just like a run in his honor the other day. Jamie Guttenberg, her father, has become a fixture on television fighting for his daughter. She was a dancer. And orange was her favorite color. So you walk around town and you occasionally see people wearing orange ribbons. That's for Jamie. Chris Hickson was a coach. Was a football coach. Joaquin Oliver. You just met his parents. Meadow Pollock. His father drove me crazy. I did not like him. He was a Republican who went to the White House and sucked Donald Trump's mushroom. He was annoying as fuck, but the fact remains that his 18-year-old daughter was killed. Alex Schachter, I remember the stories about him. These are names that we've grown to know. And this should not happen. This has got to stop. And yet I know as surely as I sit here and breathe, I know that sooner or later, it's gonna happen again. There's gonna be another one of these shootings. Probably in a school, possibly in a shopping mall, possibly, you know, who knows, when you're out walking somewhere, because that's the world we're living in now. And I don't know what it's going to take to stop it. I know what I would do. Do you? Do you know what you would do? I know what I would do. But it's not up to me. However, if it were up to me, I'd take away the guns. Cheryl Wheeler, a song that I started playing on the radio when I was still on the air in California, and it was after the Columbine shooting, and the record label actually had a, I hate to say promotion, but that's kind of what it was, where they, anytime we spun the song, our format, which was the only format that played it, they would donate so much money to gun relief efforts. David, you're back. What's on?
Yes, I wanted to say something before the show was over and, you know, maybe lighten it up at the end just a bit.
Okay.
I wanted to speak to the listeners of yours that sent the gift of candy.
Ah, that would be Scott. Scott and Andrew. Thank you, Scott and Andrew.
I wanted to say thank you for the sweetness, but even more, I wanted to say thank you for what you said earlier about, saying I'm sure your husband treats you like a queen. I do try every day to treat Nicole like a queen because I realize I am the luckiest guy on the planet.
Oh, thank you. Well, happy Valentine's Day, even though it's a weird holiday that we don't usually celebrate. I'd rather profess my love on other days, not when, you know, the commercial powers that be tell us to. I hope I don't ever have to play that song again. But I've taken to, as you know, I tend to open the show with it when there's a mass shooting. Nothing against Cheryl Wheeler. I think she's brilliant. But I don't want to play that song anymore. And Joe Biden needs to do something, not only about guns, but about student debt and about the cost of prescription drugs. Steve and Andrew. Steve, there, Steve. Thank you for the chocolates. I don't need them, but they're lovely. All right. Thank you, everybody. Tomorrow, we'll be visited by the Yes Men. And if you think that the Olivers stunt in Vegas was good, wait till you meet the Yes Men tomorrow. All right. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me today. I know this wasn't the funnest of shows, but I thought it was really necessary.